Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Gary Kelly is an illustrator, painter, and printmaker who lives in Cedar Falls. He's illustrated 30 picture books. He's done a great deal of commercial artwork, illustrations for magazines, and worked as an educator. He's illustrating a series of concerts for the Waterloo Cedar Falls Symphony. We'll talk about the Halloween concert in a few minutes, but we're going to start today with a conversation about his new picture book. It's called Next Year, Hope in the Dust, written by Ruth Vandersee, and illustrations from the book are now on display at the Hearst Center for the Arts in Cedar Falls with an event coming up tomorrow, October 25th. Ruth Vandersee is going to stop by the Hearst Center for the Arts, and Gary Kelly is here with me now. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, that's my honor. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about this project, Next Year, Hope in the Dust. It's a picture book that focuses on the Dust Bowl years. And having illustrated so many picture books over time, when a project comes to you, do you have a lot of freedom to decide, is this something I want to do or not?
Usually I do. Early on, maybe not so much, but at this point in my career, if I want to really enjoy the project, I don't do these picture books because they pay the rent, that's for sure. I do them because I'm engaged with the story, and I'm very selective on the books that I do, and I think a lot of publishers know that, and my favorite publisher, Creative Editions, has been a great partner over the years, and they're my primary publisher these days. I've worked for a lot of other publishers, but Creative is by all means the most creative. They're the most fun to work with.
So what appealed to you about this project?
This is an interesting pitch from Creative, actually. It's one of their books. I didn't know Ruth Vandersee's writing, which I really like. Now that I know it. But they didn't think I'd be interested in a story about the Midwest, because most of my books for them have been about some more exotic, I guess, topics and locales. But they ran it by me anyway. Her words probably pulled me in more than anything, the way she wrote it and the way her writing feels like the landscape, and it feels like this, it just fits the story so well.
What kind of research did you do before creating the illustrations for the book? What do you have to do to prepare yourself?
Research is a key word for me, Charity. I thrive on research. I love the research part of all of my projects usually. For this one, obviously, growing up in the Midwest, my grandparents were farmers before I was on this earth in Nebraska, so I don't know if they had any history of the Dust Bowl at all, but we've all heard a lot about the Dust Bowl era, I think, at least people my generation. So I knew the general story, but I definitely immersed myself in the visuals by first watching Ken Burns' really great documentary on the Dust Bowl. And, of course, also in my studio, I have a wall of books, probably 1,000 books in my studio. And I have a lot of books on photography as well as painters and different art forms. But I have a lot of books on photography, photographers from the Great Depression and others. So that's where a lot of the inspiration came from.
But you tried not to copy photographs when you did the illustrations. Was that kind of a challenge for you, having seen these searing, heart-wrenching images?
They're iconic photographs. Mm-hmm. And so the last thing I wanted to do was revisit them in my pictures. And in my, these are pastel renderings, ironically made with dust, rubbing dust on paper. I did not want the reader that has seen the generic or the iconic photographs from that era to look at my book and say, "Oh, I know where that came from. I've seen that photograph." Number one, there could be a copyright issue, but that's not it for me. I want to take the subject matter of the photograph and then imagine it in my own sense. You know, I want to adjust it a little bit. I want to find a different point of view. I want to put together elements from other resources that I have to maybe say something very similar, but say it in my way.
In the book, the narrator of the story, at least at the beginning, is 12 years old, a young boy living on a farm that has been devastated by the Dust Bowl, and life is very bleak and difficult for his family. There's a moment when, you know, your images, of course, are very sophisticated, beautiful, but bleak. And then I turn the page and it looks like it was illustrated by a 12-year-old boy. Why did you make that decision?
I'm glad you responded to that, Charity. That's part of the that's one of the wonderful things about working with Creative Editions. Once I get the assignment, I'm basically in charge of the visuals. They don't have an oppressive art director or art department. They leave a lot of it up to the artists that they use. And as I read Ruth's text, the boy is talking about how it used to be and how he enjoyed life a few years earlier before the dust storms hit. And so to me, it just seemed like an interesting way to do that would be to compare maybe the way a young boy would imagine the text on the page that faces it, an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old, and so I tried to just go back and revisit that. It's ironically, it's not easy. It's not easy to go back and I had to dig out some of my own kids' drawings from when they were young. I looked at a couple of books I have of children's work, of pure children's work, not children's illustrators' work, on my shelf, and then tried to, I guess, look at some of my old drawings and bring them into this book. And then you turn the page, and the next page has basically very similar imagery, but in the way that I work today, you know.
Had to get in touch with 12-year-old Gary for little while.
That's a long time ago, Charity.
So with your projects, I mean, making a living as an artist, I mentioned some of the many, many things you've done. I can imagine that you're always juggling multiple projects. So when you get a picture book project, for example, how much time can you give that?
Well, that's a really good question. Most of my book projects are fairly extended. I mean, I will have months to do a book, and so I can weave that into my daily schedule. Very seldom have they been crash and burn projects. Right now, I just got the go-ahead actually a couple of days ago to start doing sketches for a book on the photographer Jacob Riis, who documented about the same period, or a little earlier maybe, of New York tenement life. And so that'll be an interesting, the research on that'll be a little more challenging because I didn't grow up on the Lower East Side of New York. But,
and Ken Burns didn't make a documentary about
yet.
That one yet.
No. So really, books are usually long deadlines, and I'm able to juggle those without too much stress. I'm able to juggle those with my in and out projects, and the farther I get into my career, the more selective I am on what I want to do, and I actually pitch projects to clients now. In fact, I heard earlier in your segment, I heard if it was Michael Moraine, I guess, talking about Abby Gardner and the Gardner Cabin. And right now, that's one of my personal passions is a graphic novel I'm working on about the Spirit Lake Massacre.
And we'll definitely talk about that sometime in the future.
When it's done.
Right. I want to talk about another project that you've been working on, and this is a collaboration with the Waterloo Cedar Falls Symphony Orchestra. And this is a series of concerts, although you have one coming up on Sunday, on October 29th, a Halloween concert. How do you illustrate a symphony concert? What's the idea?
Well, for me, I don't illustrate digitally. I know that's the trend now for sure. That's where visuals are headed, but not with me. They're not. So it's like doing a book, basically, Charity. It's sort of like absorbing the information, absorbing or creating a storyline, a narrative, and then digging into my research and figuring out what is the best or the most interesting, not always the best, but the most interesting, maybe the most provocative way to visualize this part of the music. And with the Halloween concert, it's Mahler Nachtmusik. That's an extra challenge because there is no pure narrative to that music. There is no storyline to that music. At least that's what the experts say about it, and I've listened to it over and over, and I think they're right.
So you get to imagine your own storyline.
Yeah. And that was really fun for this. It also was probably one of the most challenging ones I've done. I think this is the fourth or fifth one I've done with the symphony now, but to be able to match the music up with a narrative. It's story, it's image after image after image. I think I created almost 40 new pieces for this.
Wow.
And I have a wonderful collaborator, a young guy named Jacob Mead, that I can sit in front of the computers in the screening room with him, and he can make things happen that I have no idea how I would do that.
So when the orchestra is playing, how are your images shown?
They're on a 30-foot screen suspended over the orchestra on the stage at the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center. So it's a pretty imposing, format. And when your images are shot digitally and then projected, 30 feet across, there's not a lot of room for making a mess.
But you certainly see them in a completely
different
way.
Yeah, it's scary. I hope everybody enjoys the concert, but the concert is very stressful for me to sit in the audience and watch because I keep waiting for a glitch. And so far, we've been pretty lucky.
And do you watch the people around you to see how they're responding?
No, I'm pretty riveted on the screen. Although the last concert last December with Duke Ellington's version of the Nutcracker, which was great fun to work on. We had our 3-year-old granddaughter there, and I sat next to her, and so I watched her.
Yeah. So with this kind of project, I mean, how does the music play into your creative process? Do you listen as you're drawing, as you're painting?
Yes and no. I listen to everything front to back, start to finish at the outset, definitely over. And believe me, on Mahler's Nachtmusik, I knew it a little bit, but I know it by heart now after the last 6 weeks or 2 months I've been working on this. But you try to match up the visuals with the mood of the music, maybe the tempo a little bit, the atmosphere, and the research that you do, about the storyline that we have created, which in this case will be loosely based on F.W. Murnau's 1922 version of Dracula Nosferatu.
Oh, okay. So in the images, I mean, you're telling a story with the music and the images. You don't have the luxury of words in this case. So do you feel like it's a complete narrative, or is it suggestive of a story that maybe people are already familiar with?
Well, in this case, most of the time, we do have some words, and I put them on the screen in sort of the same format as a silent movie. And also I'm doing all the lettering for this concert. So that's a lot of hand lettering. But I want it to feel that way. I want it to feel organic because it's an organic story and the visuals are that way. The thing that kicked off this series of concerts was The Planets by Holst, which I pitched as an idea to the symphony to Jason Weinberger back in 2005 or 6, I think. And that has text that inspired me. Holst had actually written liner notes that most people have not seen that were just amazing. And I thought, someday we have to put these on the screen and create images to go with them because this is such wonderful music. And that's where it all started.
This project, did you have it completed long in advance, or is this something that you come up right to the deadline with?
Oh, well, when I leave the microphone today, Charity, I'm going out to Jacob Mead screening room, and we're going to play with images on the screen. So
right.
It's down to the wire, but we have rehearsals the rest of the week, and everything will be, I think, totally lined up by Sunday afternoon.
So the picture book project has come out. The work is on display at the Hearst Center for the mm-hmm. Arts. You've got the concert coming up on the 29th. It sounds like, as a successful artist, your life is constantly juggling different projects as they come to different stages of fruition. Is that an accurate read?
Yeah, I couldn't work any other way. I mean, I don't like extreme pressure, but I really like to have a job list that I can look at and be excited about. It's very important.
So what's on the horizon that you're most excited about?
Oh, boy. The graphic novel. I'm very excited about the Spirit Lake Massacre right. graphic novel.
Well, and again, we're looking forward to it. Gary Kelly, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Charity.
The picture book is Next Year, Hope in the Dust, written by Ruth Vanderzee and illustrated by Gary Kelly. Illustrations from the book are on display at the Hearst Center for the Arts in Cedar Falls. And the Waterloo Cedar Falls Symphony will be performing their Nachtmusik concert on Sunday, October 29th, accompanied by the images created by artist Gary Kelly. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.